Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show. I am Paula Gordon. Have you ever pondered the fate of human societies? Our guest has. He is Jared Diamond, and he won the Pulitzer Prize for the startling conclusions he shares in his book, Guns, Germs, and Steel. Professor Diamond has a sweeping sense of the last 13,000 years of human history. He has followed our species' journey out of Africa into every corner of the planet, conquering and being conquered. But why did some peoples conquer and others submit? Why did Europeans conquer the Chinese when China had a long history of centralized government and a vast landmass? Surprisingly, says Jared Diamond, China's very unity worked against it.
Europe, on the other hand, Europe's geography with its mountains and peninsulas and islands, Europe has never been unified, never in history. I mean, Charlemagne couldn't do it, Napoleon couldn't do it, Hitler, Augustus couldn't do it. The European economic community today can't do it. Europe, because it's perpetually disunified, Europe consists of dozens, hundreds of experiments in technology and in launching a society. And the experiment that works best gets imitated or conquers its neighbors. That, I think, is the main reason why Europe eventually overtook China.
Jared Diamond is professor of physiology at the UCLA School of Medicine. He's also an evolutionary biologist, biogeographer, and author, whose work often appears in Discover, Natural History, Nature, and Geo magazines. In addition to Guns, Germs, and Steel, Professor Diamond wrote the widely acclaimed book, The Third Chimpanzee. Dr. Diamond is a member of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, the National Academy of Sciences, the American Philosophical Society, and he is a MacArthur Fellow. Professor Diamond welcomed Bill Russell and me into his Los Angeles home near the UCLA campus to share with us some of his mind-expanding ideas. Dr. Diamond, we talk about living a time of great change, but you have altered my time frame for me. Here I was thinking that now is a time of great change, but you would have me think on a broader historical scale, would you not?
Yes, I would say the real time of great change began around 13,000 years ago, possibly the most momentous changes in human history when, beginning in the Fertile Crescent, people began to adopt food production instead of hunting and gathering, the lifestyle that we had had for 5 million years. And from food production came settled villages, standing armies, bureaucrats, kings, writers, organized genocide, the Ninth Symphony, and all that other great
stuff. Sounds like humanity to me.
Well, I'm curious. There's so much out there that it's hard to know where to start, but most of us tend to think of the agricultural revolution as an unmitigated good, that it was something that has led us to be all the wonderful things that we are, excluding some of the things you mentioned, including genocide. You seem to be a little more ambivalent about that particular event.
It's a very mixed bag, the agricultural revolution. At first, one might say, isn't this great? It now means that we can buy our food in supermarkets instead of running around for 8 hours a day chasing rabbits and digging up roots. My perspective is based on having spent 34 years working in New Guinea among people, most of whom are what you could call peasant farmers, and others are hunter-gatherers. And the agricultural revolution brought some benefits we don't think of, and it also brought big disadvantages. Benefits are that modern state societies really are much less murderous than traditional societies. And I say that having been born in 1937 and gone through secondhand World War II. But the fact is that if you were living in Poland, where my wife's family comes from, during the Second World War, your chances of dying a violent death would have been much less than if you were living almost anywhere in traditional New Guinea. That's to say, state societies assume a monopoly of force. And yes, they're sometimes murderous in large numbers, but the routine murders that go on in New Guinea societies that characterize hunter-gatherer societies, that's a real improvement in modern times, that government sequesters force. A disadvantage of the agricultural revolution that we don't think much of is that hunter-gatherer bands have built-in social relationships. People grow up and spend their lives with the people next door, and so you're always playing with your friends and your aunts, and you grow old in that same society. In modern society, the problem of old people is an acute problem, and many of us, I was born in Boston, I moved to Los Angeles. The only person I now see regularly whom I saw before the age of 10, the only people, are my sister and parents.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional societies did not have that problem.
There's another piece of this that I found is striking. The average height of people, if I recall what your documentation, the average height of a person before, or at least in certain segments of hunter-gatherers before the agricultural revolution, what happened after that, apparently they got smaller. Which is unexpected. I mean, that goes against, I've always assumed that agriculture is what made it possible for me to wish I were 6 feet tall.
that's the reverse. There have been studies from many parts of the world. Naively, one might think that agriculture, you grow your own food, you're now better nourished, you're healthier, you're taller. Actually, it was the reverse. In studies in many parts of the world show that upon the transition from hunting-gathering to farming, people got shorter, much shorter, like on the average, say, in Greece and many other parts of the world, 6 inches shorter. And the
which would imply that nutrition had diminished rather than improved?
Exactly. Nutrition diminished. Yes, they were getting calories from wheat and corn and crops, but they were getting less protein, less vitamins, a less diverse diet, less fiber. And so lifestyle also contracted. When people adopted agriculture, they died earlier rather than later. And Greece is a particularly clear example. When Greeks became farmers around 7,000 BC, their height shrunk by 6 inches. And it wasn't until within the last few decades that modern Greeks got to be as tall again as their hunter-gatherers of pre-7,000 BC.
This man is qualified to tell us these things. This is Dr. Jared Diamond, who is both a physiologist and a student of humans over many millennia. We're going to be back in just a moment. Bill Russell and I are with Dr. Diamond in Los Angeles. Please stay with us.